Hey, good to see you again. Welcome back. I'm going to be sharing the Word of God this morning with you guys. Before I do that, again, if you're just new to these broadcasts, if you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome. My name is Ed. I'm here at Horizon. I get to hang out here at Horizon and worship the Lord and encourage other people to do the same. There are many hats that we all wear here, but that is one of the hats that I'm just excited about. And I'm excited about all that the Lord's doing here, but I wanted to just share with you, you are welcome here. Again, if you're visiting, you are welcome. We are very glad that you've joined us today. And if you've been here for quite a while, again, you are welcome too. We miss you guys. We love you guys. We miss seeing you. We look forward to the day where we could all gather together physically in the same place and worship God together. This morning, I just want to share a little bit of, I had a few things on my heart this week as I was preparing for today's devotions, but this kept coming up, and I believe it says that it is of the Lord. So this morning, I want to share with you just a little bit about the hope that believers have in Jesus Christ. The book of 1 Peter says in chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Meaning, be ready to give an answer for why we actually have hope as believers. And if you're tuning in for the first time and you may not know the Lord, if you may not say, "Yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ," I encourage you, please tune in, listen up. I want to express to you why I have hope in Jesus Christ, why we as believers have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who have known the Lord for years, oh my goodness, isn't it great to just remind ourselves of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? One of my favorite phrases I remember hearing in Bible college was, "I preach the gospel," I don't remember who said it, but he said, "I preach the gospel to myself daily so that I never forget how good that good news is." So, but first, before I get jumping into the book of Romans, which is where I'm going to be traveling throughout the book of Romans today. Before I get into that, I want to ask you a simple question. And this is a question that we should ask ourselves daily for those who believe and for those who may not. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? I want to ask that again one more time. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? If yes, then rejoice with me in the truth of the gospel of the Lord. If no, I want to encourage you, let's talk. Let's listen through the Word of God together this morning. If you were to look in the book of Romans, if you have a Bible, awesome. Turn in the book of Romans to chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, there are great apps for that. You can find them on Google Play or the App Store, whatever your system would be. And if you don't have a Bible and you want a physical hard copy of the Bible, please reach out to us here at Horizon. We'd love to make sure that you get a copy. We at Horizon teach through the Word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Book by book, because we believe in studying the full counsel of the Word of God, the whole counsel that God has given us. So if you got your Bibles out, let's turn in Romans chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 10. Verse 10 through 12. You may be asking yourself, why do I need to answer the question, is Jesus Christ Lord of my life? Well, I want to simply just take us through what I believe explains the good news of Jesus very clearly. I call this the Romans Road. Starting in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." It's saying here that there is nobody who is righteous, meaning there is nobody who it matches up to the standard of righteousness that God has laid down throughout Scripture, throughout the law, there's no one who matches up. If you were to scroll down to verse 23 in the very same chapter, it goes on to say, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That all means everyone. God's standard is perfection, and everyone falls short of that standard by like a lot. Not just by like a little, but by like a lot. There are none of us who meet that standard of perfection. Every one of us are sinners. Let's put it in another way. If you were to ever tell one lie, what does that make you? It makes you a liar. If you were to ever steal once, what does that make you? It makes you a stealer. It makes you a thief. If you sin, meaning you broke even just one of the commandments in God's law, if you just broke one, that makes you a sinner. That makes me a sinner. Because I can guarantee you I've broken the laws that God has laid down in his word. But there's still hope. At this point, you're probably wondering or thinking to yourself, if you've never heard this before, this is the hope you were talking about at the beginning? This is the answer for hope that you have, that we're all sinners, that nobody meets the perfection of God's word? No, there's hope coming. But there is hope in knowing there's nothing I could have done differently. Let's look at verse in Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It gets better. Not only is everyone in the whole world fallen short, not perfect, doesn't match up to God's standards, but look here, there's a penalty. There's a penalty that has to be paid for our sins. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So first off, we've established that we are all sinners. These wages of sin, the sin that you and I, the sin that we have all committed, demands a penalty. Not only is God's standard perfection, but there's a cost. For the wages of sin is death, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. What? Okay, surely you're not talking about, this is not the hope that you were talking about earlier. No, it wasn't. You mean that the sin that you and I have committed demands a repercussion, it demands a penalty, and that penalty is death, and you're telling me there's hope? Yes. Look at the second half of this verse. The hope begins right here. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. Wait, you just said, let me get this straight. You just said that God's standard is perfection, yes. And that we are all sinners, And that we deserve death for our sins, yes. So how can God just wave away the penalty that is due for our sins and give us eternal life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Let's go back one chapter. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. This is where the gift, the hope that we have becomes so real. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, towards you and I, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for you. God demonstrated his love for me, for all of us, for all of the world, in the very fact that Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, died in our place. He died for us. You see, God didn't just wave away the penalty of sin. He gave it to his own Son in our place. God loves you and I. God loves us even though we were sinners, even though we were rebellious, even though we are wicked people, he loves us. And that doesn't change. God did not just wave away our sins and the penalty that they demanded. You see, he loved us so much that he paid that penalty for us. Jesus died for us means that he died the very death that sin demanded. And he rose again, meaning that that debt, that cost, those wages were paid in full, never needing to be paid again. It's very similar to as if you were to go down before a judge, say you were speeding and you got pulled over and you were speeding pretty bad and you had to go to court for it. And the judge looks you in the eye and he says, "Where are you doing this thing?" And you said, "Yes, I was speeding. I was going, you know, 80 in a school zone." And the judge looks at you and says, "Okay, well, I'm going to fine you like $2,000. And you're thinking, "Well, I don't have $2,000. I live paycheck to paycheck, but I'll find a way to pay it off. I can't make it. All I have to my name is $10. And the judge looks you in the eye and he says, "That's the penalty for your sin. That's the penalty for what you've done wrong." And then the judge sets down his gavel. He gets out from behind the booth. He walks down. He pulls out his wallet. And he writes you a check for $2,000. The judge himself paid the wages for your trespass, for your mistake, for your sin. That is how the gospel of Jesus Christ works. Jesus demanded a penalty for our sin. The Lord demanded a penalty for our sins. And he stepped down from heaven, became as one of us, and paid the very penalty for our sins in our stead. So wait, you're telling me that God loves me? Yeah. And God saw that I was in trouble with no way to get myself out? Yeah. So God paid the price that my sins demanded so that I could live. Exactly. That is the good news. And you're probably thinking to yourself, this is almost seems too good to be true. What do I need to do? Again, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. And it goes on to say that if I confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I love how it goes on to say in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guys, this is not just for a select. This is not just for those who live up to the standard of God's righteousness. This is for you. This is for me. This is for all of us. So I just need to confess and believe? Is that what you're saying, Ed? Yes. Even that confession, is an act of believing. As I confess to the Lord that I need him, that Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life, that is an act of faith. That seems too simple, you may be saying. That seems too simple. I know sometimes I feel it seems too simple. Surely I must do some good things or give money to something or do something to earn my salvation, do something to pay off my debt. Guys, understand that debt could never be paid except by death. It is not by any good work that you or I accomplish. It is by one thing. It is by faith alone. The good things done and the ability to repent, to turn from our sins, all come by the grace of God. Remember 6:23 in Romans, it says, it is a gift, not earned. I can't earn a gift. And I'm not talking about like a PBS telethon gift where like if you were to donate $200, you will give you this free gift of this book you never really wanted. No, I'm saying this is a gift a free gift. Not just a free gift that costs us nothing, but it is a free gift that costs Jesus everything. He gave his life for you and I. Let's end with the book of Ephesians right now, chapter 2. If you don't know where Ephesians is, just keep scrolling over to the right. It's like four books away from Romans. Ephesians chapter 2, if my app will work for me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not by works, not by anything that you and I could have done to earn it. Not by anything other than the grace of God. That grace means that gift, that unmerited favor. I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve to be paid for. Yet he did anyways. So again, I'm going to ask you this question as we get ready to close here. Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? I want to offer you an opportunity right now. For those of you who may know the Lord, rejoice in the fact that we have been paid in full. Rejoice in the gospel. For those of you who may not know the Lord, and you're curious, you want to know the Lord, you want Jesus to be Lord of your life, I'm going to close with a prayer. There are no magic words that anyone needs to say to ask Jesus to save them. Remember, it is by grace through faith. You and I simply need to just believe and confess Jesus as Lord of our lives. If you are interested in knowing this living Savior, because that is what salvation is, knowing God personally, knowing Jesus. If that's what you know you need in your life, the hope of Jesus, please bow your heart with me to the Lord and let's pray together. I'm going to pray, and if you feel led to give your heart to the Lord, if you feel led to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I'm going to pray. Just simply repeat after me. If you've never prayed before, and we'll pray together. Amen? I'm going to pray. We'll start with this. Dear God, I know I am a sinner, and I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus is Lord, and that he died for me. And not only did he die, but he rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior, as my Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you're a visitor and if you've prayed that prayer for the very first time in your life, asking Jesus to be Lord of your life, I want to say, welcome. There's no greater joy than knowing God. Being a Christian is not about fulfilling religious do's and don'ts. I want you to hear that first and foremost. It's not about meeting up to some standard that we could never meet up in the first place. It is a personal relationship with God himself. And that is what you just stepped into if you prayed that with me. If you don't have a Bible, again, please reach out to us here at Horizon. We'd be happy to find a way to make sure you get a copy of the Word of God. Also, if you're paperless, there are beautiful apps online on the App Store or on Google Play. The YouVersion Bible app is a great one that I use. Another one is the Blue Letter Bible. These are beautiful apps that actually help you study the Word of God. And if you've never read the Word of God, if you've never studied the Word of God for the first time, I would encourage you, maybe find the book of John. It's in the Gospels, the Gospel of John, and just start reading through the book of John to get to know the heart of Jesus. To get to know Jesus. And also, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, please let us know here at Horizon Indy. You don't have to write it in the comments unless you feel like you are led to. Feel free to email us, to direct message us here on Facebook. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to get to know you and encourage you in what you just stepped into. God loves you, and we look forward to seeing you again. God bless.